Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
So, this morning, we are launching into a new series called Sync. And I don't know what that conjures up in your head, what kind of words you think of when you think of sync. But, you know, like you kind of sync your computer and... And so one of the concepts there is that there's this information going back and forth, or sometimes you talk about a machine being in sync, so it's functioning right, or people are in sync, meaning they're moving together, they're thinking together. And so all those things kind of apply. We want to come to this place where we're moving in concert with one another and moving in concert with God, that we're in sync with God. And that there's this free flow, this sharing of information that we're hearing from God together, that we are hearing from God together. So the biblical model that I want to lift up to you is the way John and his gospel describes the ministry of Jesus, or actually the way Jesus describes his ministry in John. So Jesus says that I only say what I hear the Father saying, and I only do what I see the Father doing. So I'm proposing to you that model of ministry that Jesus put forth for us, just doing what we see the Father doing and saying what we hear the Father saying, that's what it means to be in sync with God. That's what it means to be syncing together with each other. So we're looking at this, and we're asking this question, what if we, like we, all of us, as T-Free Church, what if we were functioning in harmony with God and with one another? What if we were in perfect sync together? How would that happen, and what would that look like? And so the reason that we're asking this, quite honestly... And so you know what? Honesty is going to be one of the key words this entire month of March, all right? So the reason we're asking this question, quite honestly, is because as a church, we feel stuck. Stuck. So stuck's the word that we've just kind of agreed to. And I don't want you to misunderstand that word stuck. And like, even as I say that, I wanna add, like, there's great things happening in our church. Like, just last weekend, we had 25 people that were a part of the Encounter God retreat, and we had a unique weekend. We had a great weekend, and at the same time, back here at home, you had the youth worship team leading worship. And I know what you thought of that, because we heard from you verbally, and a lot of you wrote things down in your connection cards about how great the youth worship team did. And you know, how great the youth worship team did is just, it's just indicative of the kind of youth ministry we have here. We have a very strong youth ministry, and we have a strong children's ministry. Sunday morning and like Wednesdays after school, we still have like these 40 plus kids coming in from all over the place and invading this building, and it's just really good stuff. So last weekend we had the Encounter God weekend, and we had youth worship team, and that very same weekend we had the men's ministry team, who was largely involved and at work in the Titusville Area Men's Summit that was going on last weekend. So, like, that's a good thing. And so we have this great youth ministry, this great men's ministry. We have an awesome staff at this church. Like, I want to say, any church in our conference would say, man, I would love to have the people on staff here that you have on staff there. Like, we just have that kind of a staff. But it's not just the staff. It's not even remotely the staff that makes things happen here. It's all of you. It's like the kind of volunteers we have. So you saw up on this platform today. Like, we have a staff person, Sean, who leads, but then we have all these other people that are a part of the worship team at the first service and second service. And like today, Jim Kirkwood joined the worship team on bass. If you thought you saw a new face, you did. And that was Jim. So we really appreciate that. And we have this hospitality team. Like, man, like, you're not even out of your car yet, and you've got somebody greeting you. You've got someone opening the door for you, and like all the way in and then all the way out. Like, how many hospitality teams are there that are greeting you when you come in and when you go out? Like, that's a great thing. And, oh man, I don't know. So we got the worship team and the hospitality team, and we have this care team. So like, communion is here because of the care team, and funeral dinners are there because of the care team. The care team, as in, like, whatever happened to the stewards? Well, that's the care team, if you ever would know what a steward is. And we got great small group leaders, and we got a great finance team. And so you saw Bill Dale on the screen just a few minutes ago, and Dale's a part of our board of administration. And so on the board of administration, you have these godly, intelligent men and women who are serving and directing our church. So it's not like there aren't things that are healthy and good. We're just stuck. And on top of all of that, there's like you. Like, there's all of you. So I say this a lot, and you might never have heard me say this, but I say this a lot. Sometimes I look at a room full of our church folk. So I can look at this room of our church folk, and I think, man, just 12 of them. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, like, just these few rows in section C. Like, just 12 of us. Just 12 of us. It's within us to win Titusville for Jesus. To see Titusville brought to Jesus. Just pick 12. Any 12, and we could do it. And so that kind of begs the question, doesn't it? Like, if any 12 of us can do that, if any 12 of us could be winning Titusville for Jesus, why aren't we? Why aren't we? Because we have more than 12. And it's because we're stuck. We're just not getting where we want to get. So here's what we've been doing for just 2 or 3 months now. Different pockets of us, different pockets of people of us, have been reading this book by Francis Chan that it looks like this, and it's entitled Letters to the Church, Letters to the Church. So this whole thing started, our introduction to this book, Letters to the Church, started with a flood in my basement. So I have this flood in my basement in July. Yours might have gotten flooded too. Man, I just had a bunch of people help me out. The Mike Reynolds and Sons restoration team, they came in. And there are people from the youth team that came in. But one of the people that came in was Kevin Vinson. So you see Kevin Vinson playing the saxophone up here sometimes, or the congos. Kevin Vinson, so it was just the two of us there this one particular time. And we were having this conversation, and so I was telling Kevin, and I don't even know what month this was, like August or September, I don't know. I was having this conversation about just this sense of dis-ease or discontentment I had with what was happening in our church, and I was mostly thinking about Sunday mornings, like we just need to rethink what happens on Sunday mornings or how Sunday mornings happen. And you know, even as I said that, I wasn't talking about the worship team, because I think the worship team's great, and I wasn't talking about the preaching team, because I think good stuff comes off this platform. And so, like, I didn't even know what I was talking about, you know? I just knew there was something about what was going on here on Sunday mornings that left me wanting, left me desiring for more. Like, something else has got to happen in this church. And somehow or other, I was putting it on these 90 minutes that we have, not even thinking like it. It probably goes deeper than that. Like, I'm the pastor. I should have been thinking. It probably goes deeper than that, you know? So I'm sharing this with Kevin, and I'm telling Kevin that, you know, I'd like to get together a group of people just to kind of talk about what goes on Sunday mornings and what it might look like if we began to make some changes in how we do that. And Kevin says, well, I'd be really interested in that. But I wouldn't want to be interested in that unless the people that we were going to talk to were going to, like, take a month first and just pray and fast about the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, that's good. And so then Kevin started talking about, he said, I'm reading this book by Francis Chan called Letters to the Church. And I don't think he'd even finished yet, but he was reading it. And he was saying, it's really alerting me to some things about how church is done, not just here, but everywhere, how church is done. And I said, oh, well, I'll pick that up. So I picked it up, and it's a quick read. So I just started reading it, and I thought, you know what? We need to get some other people reading this, you know? So I got the BOA reading it, and I got the staff reading it, and I got just some different individuals in the church saying, hey, you know what? Maybe you ought to read this. And so we have different people reading Francis Chan, Letters to the Church. Now, Francis Chan is should be familiar to some of you. If you were ever a part of our Forgotten God small group or our Crazy Love small group, those were books by Francis Chan. And so Francis Chan doesn't pretend to be a church consultant of any kind. He doesn't pretend to necessarily be an expert. What he was a mega church pastor in Simi Valley, California. So he plants this church, he starts this church, and it grows up to be a true mega church, like one of the largest churches in the country, one of the most prominent, one of the most influential churches in the country. But even in the midst of that, like he's having this same kind of discontent or dis-ease that I was referring to. Like, there was something about what was going on there that wasn't satisfying to him. It wasn't that great things weren't happening, because great things were happening and people's lives were being changed, but there was something wrong. There was something missing. And so Francis Chan like shocks church world and decides he's going to step down as the lead pastor of the Simi Valley Church, and he's going to transition out of that so he could begin searching God for a way of doing church that would be truer to Scripture. For a way of doing church that would be truer to Scripture. So this book, Letters to the Church, this is his attempt to answer the question, what would church look like if all we were going on was what Scripture said? What would church look like if all we were going on was what Scripture said? Okay, so it's kind of what we were doing in January, right? In the Reset series. Like, what was going on in Acts chapter 2? What did the church look like then? And what would it look like for us now? And so we're just moving along in that reminding that same vein with this. We're not moving on to something else. We're just mining that same vein. So it seemed good to us that the more of us that can literally get on the same page, all right, the more of us that can literally get on the same page, the better. And so one of the things we're encouraging you to do during the course of this month of March, so it's 5 Sundays long, so that's really good. 31 days in March, is that true? Oh, yep, okay, good. So you got, like, not a short month, you got a full month to do this. So we're going to encourage you to pick up a copy of Letters to the Church. You can get it for less than $10. So if you need $10, Matt will loan it to you, because we discovered in the month of February that Matt was the finance expert in the church. All right? So meanwhile, what we're going to do these first 4 Sundays, we're going to pick out 4 themes within the book. And we're going to talk about those these first 4 Sundays of the month. 5th Sunday, we're going to do something totally different. and totally special. But these first 4 months and the rest of the month will just kind of all be a walking into what we're going to do on the 29th. So we're going to start out, and I know it feels like, haven't we started? Yeah, we did start. But we're going to show you what we've been watching, and we're going to have you listen to what we've been listening to. So I want to introduce you to Francis Chan for the next 9 minutes. He's going to be, nine plus. He's going to be addressing us. When you watch this, he's going to be addressing us as if we were a small group. So the video you're going to see is like a small group video. So we just want to think of ourselves as a big small group here. And we're going to do that for this Sunday and the three that follow. Think of ourselves as one big small group. And you can follow along in your insert. So your insert is all about the video. So you can kind of follow along with the insert, what he's saying, and then some questions we're going to be asking about it. I'm going to invite you to write down some of your own thoughts or respond to the questions that are there. But for now, here we go. Give a watch and give a listen to Francis Chan.
So as you guys get started in this small group study, I mean, the one word that I just hope permeates your conversations every week is humility. My biggest fear in writing this book was exactly what scripture says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And we live in a time when people are so sure of their opinions and they value their opinions so much, and they can come to a group and you may come thinking, no, I know the truth about church, I understand this, or even read the book and go, okay, now I get it and I've got ammunition against everyone else. It's like, that's exactly what we don't want, is this knowledge that creates an arrogance, because it is so hard to lead nowadays. Being a leader, it's so difficult to lead in this generation. I mean, pride's always been on this earth, obviously, but I've never seen it this bad, where people value their opinion so much. And so I'm just saying, as you get started, I think the best thing you can do before you read the book, before you gather as a group, maybe the first order of business today, if right after this video, is that you beg God to make you humble. Just beg him, please make me humble, God. I need this, because God says that he pours out his grace to those who are humble and he opposes those who are proud. So there's nothing worse than that pride. And so even as a group, pray for each other. And I'm going to ask you to take it a step further, is to be honest with each other. This is difficult. It, maybe even for you as an individual to ask the people in the group to say, hey, would you show me, please, as we go through the study, please tell me, be honest with me, if there's pride in my life, if you see pride coming across, please tell me, because I want the grace of God. See, pride is one of those things. I remember being early on, someone telling me, you know, pride's like bad breath. It's like, you don't know when you have it. You know, going, you know, that doesn't really work. Like, everyone else can smell it. Everyone else can see it. But pride is one of those things that you often, almost always, will not see it in your life. And sometimes it takes other people. And that's why we need the body. That's the whole point of the church. There are things you won't see in yourself that you need others to point out. So maybe even ask the group, you guys, please, as we go on this, show me if I'm being arrogant. Show me if I'm not being loving, because knowledge puffs up and love builds up. And, you know, in that introduction, or the first chapter, I talk about David and his humility, and we just see him with Saul, and he had such a humble spirit about himself, understanding God's anointed. And it's very easy, you know, with knowledge about the church to go to your church leaders with an arrogance and forget, no, these are the people that God has placed in authority over you. And so how do you do that humbly? It doesn't mean we don't talk to them. It doesn't mean we don't discuss. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time to confront if something is off. It's just that spirit of humility that we all want when you go to bed. I've had people come to me as a leader and say things to me that were just so powerful that I needed to hear. I needed the body of Christ to show me my shortcomings. But lately, I've just seen such a spirit that is not the spirit of David, but actually, I don't know if you ever read the story of Absalom, David's son, and hey, we can't get into the whole story right now. Read it sometime in 2 Samuel, but there was almost like this creative, like rebellious usurping of power. If you read in 2 Samuel 15, where it says that Absalom, verse 3, would say to him, as people were coming to him at the gate, let me read it back, verse 2. Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And when he said, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel," Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there's no man designated by the king to hear you." Then Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were a judge in the land. Then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice." And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It's just such a, and it's kind of a crazy picture where he's grabbing people that were going to go to the king, and he's like, "Yeah, the king, I mean, if I were in charge, here's what I would do. You know, man, if I was ever the leader, here's what I would do. Man, because your point's totally valid. I mean, unfortunately, things aren't set up that way." It, you see that spirit? It's just kind of like, man, I could have helped you. It's directing people to yourself like you're the savior, but it's really this rebellion against the leadership that God has anointed. And so as we do this, let's just be very careful about our words, because I've seen rebellion very, very carefully disguised as, "Oh, poor me, you know, the leaders just really hurt me, and so can you guys pray for me, because the leaders really offended me." Like, man, we're throwing in a prayer request, or say, "Oh, Rob really hurt my feelings, and let's pray for him, because I don't know, maybe he just doesn't have..." It's just, we're using these words to tear other people down. And it's very cleverly done. And that can happen in this environment where we actually bring division more than we bring unity to the church. So let's just be very careful of our words as we speak about leadership, as we speak about other churches. Again, this is God's temple. And then the last thing I would say is, as you get into the study, try to remove any limitations you have in your mind right now. And what I mean by that is sometimes we can go into a group assuming certain things, like, "I'm going to come and I'm going to learn stuff about the church." But, you know, when Jesus would speak to people, he wanted everything surrendered. It wasn't just, "I'm going to learn some things." When God's word is written, we should surrender everything. That means there should be no limitations on what God's calling you to do. He may call you to leave the country and plant a church in a hostile country. Have you surrendered to that and said, "I'll do it"? He may call you to stay exactly where you are and come under the leadership and support it 100. Are you totally open to that? He may call, even with this group that you're with, do you have limitations on how much you will love one another? He may call you to sell your house and take all the proceeds and give it to these people. There can't be limitations. Sometimes we come in with limitations of our privacy. Like, I'm only going to give the church like an hour or two, you know, at this time, and then it's family time. I'm only going to live in this place. I have to have this much income. I must have, you know, there's so many things rather than saying, okay, God, help me because I'm scared, but I want to surrender everything. I'll go anywhere, do anything, humble me. I'll give anything to this because the church is bigger than me. Okay? You gotta understand this. What we're talking about here is sacred and much bigger than you. The church is bigger than you and your life. And you need to come under that. And I think most people don't see it that way. It's like, here I am, and here's the church down here, and let me see if it can fit into little aspects of my all-important life. But we're talking about the bride of Christ, and we're saying, God, I want to value her more than I value my own life. More than I value my own life.
All right, so that's Francis Chan. I had a thought while I was listening that I want to make a clarification on. We're talking about sync as being how we listen to God. It's how we listen to God. And so we don't want to have this notion that, okay, so now we're going to listen to Francis Chan, right? Like, everything he says on the video and everything he writes in the book, like, that's everything we're going to listen to. We're tapping in to Francis Chan as a tool by which we can hear God better. All right. So does that make sense? Like we're not selling our soul as a church to Francis Chan. We just want to use him. We want to hear him as a tool by which we can hear God. So I said we're going to land on four themes during these first four Sundays of March. And the first theme is just this matter of humility. So we talked a lot in the beginning of the video about humility. And this is the text that I want us to hear this morning. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm actually going to start reading at verse 5. It says, young men, in the same way. So a lot's been said already. And you would need to go back and read those first verses. But young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, okay, so now we get everybody, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. So Chan was talking about how, so it kind of surprised me the first time I heard it, like understanding humility as how you view your own opinion. Like, you value other people's opinions more than your own. Or are you open to the possibility even that whatever your opinion is about something, like, that might be wrong. Like, we always preface that, don't we? Like, before we say anything, like, you know, I might be wrong, but this is what I think. But you don't really think you're wrong. Like, I've never said that and thought I was wrong. In fact, I never think I'm wrong. Like, who would say something out loud that they thought was wrong? Like, I never think I'm wrong. But I want to say, again, honesty is what's going to carry this month for us. I am very open to the possibility that some of the things that I've thought and some of the opinions that I've had could be wrong. And we want all of us to do the same. Want all of us to do the same. So, in humility, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Toward one another. Okay. Especially toward God, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Nobody else's. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Okay? Cast all your care, all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So I think that text applies to our church, that we're going to humble ourselves before the hand of God and trust that he will lift us up in his time, because we know that God cares for us. So check out your insert here. Matt and I kind of want to leave it open. When we started the video, I said we want to think of ourselves as one big small group, and so we're just going to do this for as much as time allows. So how about it for you? How about it for you? You want to you want to make a comment? You want to make an observation? Do you want to ask a question? Like how tightly do you hold on to your opinion? Or when you talk with others in church, or when you talk with others about church, like maybe in your small group or maybe just anywhere, when you talk with others about, is humility the disposition that permeates all of our conversation? And are you open to the possibility that your opinion might be out of sync with God's? Okay. Anybody want to comment there? Anybody want to direct their thoughts there? Hey, we don't get paid to preach, like, but we want you to be able to speak. It's actually preparation for the 29th. I'll explain more of that later. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so you know, so Pastor Jim said it, and I would just throw in. So, you know, in the video with Francis Chan, you know, so he talked about, a lot about humility in terms of the congregation coming to leadership. And, you know, just I just want to reiterate, to have that in front of your mind. So, you know, we as a leadership meeting, staff and board of administration, like, we're also, like, coming under this need for humility and assessing our thoughts and our decisions and our directions. And, you know, so we're searching. Like, maybe humility hasn't always been what's been on display from leadership. And it's been our goal. It's never at one point we're like, forget humility. We don't need it anymore. It's never where we've been. But you got to assess things and see where we're at. So that's what we're doing. We're assessing where we're at and making sure that we're exercising humility, but also reevaluating things said and directions taken.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I loved it when he said, like, let's beg God to be humble. So, like, I don't know if this is the prayer you wake up with every morning, but this was like one of those thrice repeated things, like beg God, please humble me. A scary prayer? Yeah. Yeah, it is, because, like, oh, jeepers creepers, what is God going to do to humble me? And I just want to say that I think that that's a beautiful position to be in, to be humble before God. It just is. So I want us not to be afraid of that, because the promise is, as we humble ourselves before God, he'll lift us up. He'll exalt us. And I don't need to exalt myself. I don't need to exalt our church. We leave that to God, and we just put ourselves in this posture of humbling ourselves before God. So what do you think? Can we pray this? Can we pray this? Like, maybe let's just even do that right now. Okay, would that be all right? So let's bow our heads, and let's start. This is a really good way to start, and pray for God to humble us. God, I pray that you humble me. Humble me. I'm more aware of anyone, I think, of how much pride exists inside of me. And pride was the one thing you had to break through before I surrendered myself to you. And pride is the thing that you'll have to break through now.
So God, strip me of all my pride and humble me. And pray the same for our body, for our church, that we would humble ourselves before one another and before you. Anybody else? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, so there were some other things that Chan talked about in the video there. And talking about the pride thing, I'm just pointing this out to you. I don't know if you have that person in your life that is allowed to do that for you, is allowed to say, hey, Matt, I think that what you're doing there, the attitude that you're taking, or the way you're responding is that I think that's just your pride coming out. Like, you have a person that you give permission to say those kinds of things to you. That would be important for us. That's part of what it means to live together as a fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, so maybe I would throw this in too. Like, so I think our assumption is, well, if I'm acting prideful, I'm wrong. You might be right and still behaving pridefully.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you might have a right opinion, you might have a right thought, but you're being a jerk about it. Do you have a person who can say, hey, you know what, you're right, but are you really behaving in a way that's beneficial to you and the people around you? And we're in this context, are you presenting your thoughts and your feelings and your opinions in a way that's helpful to the person you're sharing them to? Or are you just bludgeoning them with your rightness rather than sharing something that could actually be helpful?
Yeah, okay, good. Anybody else? Okay, so I'm just giving you a taste of this. Oh.
Before anybody replies to opinion, we should ask ourselves, how would Jesus reply or how would he respond to this situation?
Yeah.
If it's, you know, just use your own thought, it'll probably be boastful and, you know, insurmountable. So, you know, that's where you think. We have the opportunity to stop and think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, Randy. I don't know if all your ears picked that up, but Randy's saying that before we respond to anything, we should be asking ourselves the question, like, how would Jesus respond here? And when you say that, Randy, how would Jesus respond here, I think you're like not just talking about necessarily what would Jesus say, but how would he come across? What kind of spirit would he come across this in? And that's really good.
People hurt other people's feelings in that boastful way, and all it does is create a higher wall.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, that's excellent. Thanks, Randy. Thank you. Yeah. Chip? Really?
It's really easy to accept other people's opinions as long as they go inside your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just when you have that conflict in between, it's hard sometimes not to get excited about it.
Yeah, right. Did you catch this from Chip over here? We congregate around people who share the... So write this down, Chip. Write that down, Randy, so that we can hold on to that. We tend to congregate around people that have the same opinion as ours, and when they don't, it's hard not to get excited about it. Yeah. Really, really true. Really true. That's way true for me. All right. So you're getting a little taste. We're getting a little taste, and this is kind of the way we want to be during this month of March. I just want to throw out one more thing to you. Like one of the last things that Francis talked about was this matter of limitations. Like, how much are we prepared to give over? Are we just giving over 90 minutes to God, or 180 minutes to God, 90 minutes in worship and 90 minutes somewhere else? So, like Matt talked about tithing last week, right?
Oh, yeah, last Sunday.
Yeah, so Matt talked about tithing last Sunday. And so, you know, tithing's a limit, right? Like, some people want to know, why doesn't the New Testament talk about tithing? Because that's a limit. And we want to remove all limits. Like everything I have is available to God. So Chan says, like, maybe God will say, hey, you need to sell your house. What? Like, I thought I just had to give 10%. So as followers of Jesus, everything's on the table. Everything's on the table. And that's the way we want to be moving forward. We just want to say, you know what, everything's going to be on the table. We'll see how God directs us with what we're bringing, and we're not going to hold anything back.
Yeah, because, you know, I think if we don't, so like any time we make statements like that, like, well, God might ask you to sell your house, or God might, the dreaded, send you to Africa.
No, please.
And those kinds of things, like when we say that, but then we always add this little, you know, like caveat, but he probably won't. He probably won't. That doesn't happen. But, you know, do you think God ever looks at us and say, as soon as we say, but he probably won't, he's like, I wasn't going to have you sell your house, but I'm not even sure you're willing to do this little thing. Like, it's got to be all on the table to have the smaller piece on the table. So if you're hoping God's going to ask something smaller of you, I don't think he does unless it's all on the table. I think it's got to be all available to him, and then he'll ask for what he needs and wants.
Okay. All right, so let's maybe turn your card over or turn your insert over, and let's look at next steps. I want to tell you how we want to proceed, how we want to go forward. Is everybody all right? You doing okay? Like, different than what we usually walk in looking for, but I want to make sure your hearts are clear. You want to come up and talk to me or Matt afterwards? Do you have to play?
No.
Okay. We can do that. And I'll try not to give a prideful response. How's that? All right, so here's four next steps for you. Number one, please, please, please take the time to reflect on the scripture that we read. I don't think I wrote it down in the insert. I meant to, but I think I forgot to put the actual numbers. So it's 1 Peter chapter 5. And, you know, reading the whole chapter won't hurt you. But especially reading the first 11 verses won't hurt you. Take time to reflect on the scripture, pray over the scripture, and pray and work through the discussion questions on the insert. Maybe you even want to talk over them with somebody, but just pray over those questions there. Secondly, we want you to save the date for March 29th. So March 29th, fifth Sunday of the month, last Sunday of the month. So your board of administration, we had this... really honest, there is that word again, we had this really honest conversation the second Monday in February, and it centered around this idea of being stuck, and what do we need to do? And so we this was such a God thing, like, because we like talked an hour and a half, and so like if you talk for an hour and a half, you might eventually get a word from God. So we like talked for an hour and a half, and what came out of it was we need to set aside a Sunday morning as a congregation where we're just going to come together and be honest with each other, and we're going to listen for God together. So that's like the subtitle of the series, right? Listening for God together. So that's what we would want to do on the 29th. I wish I could tell you what it's going to look like. I don't, because to do so would mean like we're not letting God take it. We're trying to set up a Sunday morning that we totally give over to God, to listen for God. So it'll be a loosely structured Sunday morning. It'll be one service at 10 o'clock. So that's like dividing 9:15 and 11. So we're going to come together at 10. And there will be some structure to it. But it'll be a very open service for us to pray and for us to share, to be honest about one another, about ourselves, toward each other, time for confession and repentance, a time for giving thanks. So just set aside that day. Pray about that day. So the other thing on there is, I'm going to have you, yeah, so
These aren't in really good order, but get a copy of this. But so because we're doing that on the 29th, and today is just the first, that gives us an entire month to spend in prayer and fasting for the church and for ourselves, so that we can listen to God together. So we want to be, everything that we do on Sunday mornings and everything we do in prayer and fasting and study through the month is something we want to be moving toward. We want to be moving toward the, we want to be moving toward the 29th. So you can see a description of the 29th on that last paragraph on your insert. But what we want to do on that Sunday is just posture ourselves before God, perhaps in a manner that Jesus would.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T Free Church.